From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio. This is In Black America.
Back in the day, it was, a meeting at church on a nightly basis. John, we had church 7 days a week. And in order to keep from, at times from being bored out of your mind, you got together with your brothers and sisters and you sang together and you played together and played music together, and you even got out on the altar and sought the Holy Ghost together. I mean, you did everything together.
Legendary gospel recording artist Bishop Rance Allen. Bishop Allen and his brother Tom and Steve formed the Rance Allen Group in 1969 and introduced a new contemporary and innovative sound to the gospel music audience, incorporating rock, jazz, and soul into the music. One of 12 children, Allen preached his first sermon and started performing as a gospel singer at age 5. He began playing piano by age 7 and the guitar a few years later. For 40-plus years, the Rance Allen Group has crossed many boundaries, influenced countless artists, and made musical history with their lives and music. In 2009, he was celebrated as one of the great men of gospel by the Black Academy of Arts and Letters, and has made a name for himself as an actor by appearing in several gospel music stage and on-screen productions. The Rance Allen Group has released their third live CD entitled The Rance Allen Group Live in San Francisco. I'm Johnny O'Hanson Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, Bishop Rance Allen of the Rance Allen Group in Black America. Allen Group is celebrating their 40th year of being in the gospel music industry. Bishop Allen founded the Rance Allen Group in Detroit in 1965 and has fronted the band with his soulful, soaring vocals ever since. The traditionally trained African-American gospel group was the first traditional gospel group to incorporate rock, jazz, and soul into their music. In 1972, they signed with Stack Records, Gospel Troupe subsidiary, where they recorded a series of gospel songs that won them main stage tours with R&B headliners such as Isaac Hayes and Barry White. They went on to record a number of gospel classics such as You That I Trust, Do Your Will, and I Belong to You. In 2008, the group was honored with the BMI Trailblazers Award. Born and raised in Monroe, Michigan, Bishop Allen at the age of 5 began his preaching ministry. And by the age of 9, he was preaching throughout Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. He was licensed to preach at age 12 and has since carried the word of the Lord throughout the country and abroad. Recently, the group released their 25th album entitled The Rance Allen Group Live in San Francisco.
Hey, man, it's my joy, my privilege. I'm glad to be on the air with you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're from Monroe, and I'm from Detroit, and you're about 2 years older than I am. But for those who haven't had the opportunity, tell us what it was like growing up in Monroe, Michigan.
Man, in Monroe, Michigan, I can remember when the streets were unpaved. And, they had a whole community of blacks, and we all lived on what we call the East End. And, man, I'd never been south, but I could feel that southern influence, man, because if you went downtown, boy, you got looks, and somebody would even ask, what are you doing down here, you know? But Monroe, other than that, was a wonderful place to be. Man, I had my family, my mother, my grandmother, and even my great-grandmother. And, for years, we just had a great time. Me and the fellas started playing music at young ages, and every 4th of July, we would sit out on my mother's porch, which was actually like a stage. And, man, we would play for as many as 6 to 8 hours on that day, and people would come from everywhere. Finally, they started blocking off the East End so that, we could have our concert and our crowd. And Monroe provided a lot of good things for us, not only as family but as a group.
Now, tell us, how was life like, I guess, at dinner time when you got 12 brothers and sisters?
Oh, man, there's a saying where cheese is concerned, it's every rat for himself, see? So when it came time to eat, man, and it's 12 of us,
mm-hmm.
Mama would cook all the pork chops, but it'd be on you if you didn't get yours. Sometimes if a fellow was extra quick, he might get two of them, you know. But it was a time of coming together. It was a time of Mama teaching us to be respectful to each other and, you know, share and all that kind of thing. Dinner time, well, when most people look at me and Tom and say that they think that we overstayed our welcome at the dinner table, and my brother Steve got pushed away, but it really wasn't like that. We had a great time, man, and nobody went hungry. Everybody was fed. It was a time of family enrichment every single day.
No, that's right. How did you happen to spend more time with your grandmother?
Well, my mother and my dad were not getting along one week, and they were going to discuss what they had to do to get along, even if it meant divorce. So my mom asked her mother, you know, we all lived a driveway apart.
Right.
My mother, my grandmother, and my great-grandmother, just a driveway apart. And my mother said to her mother, can you keep Rance for me for the weekend while his dad and I discuss, you know, what we need to do to try to make things work?
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother said, sure. And, man, when my dad came to get me after that weekend was over, now this is what they tell me. They tell me I had a fit. I did not want to go home. And my dad said to my grandmother, well, maybe we'll let him stay with you another week and get it in and maybe and hopefully out of his system. Well, that turned into me being with my grandmother until I got married at 22 years old.
Mm. No, that's
right. Yeah, so I grew up in a family of 12, but I was treated as if I were, you know, an only child.
Now, how did you, Tom, and Steve get together? And I think it was a fourth brother, but he eventually, you know, dropped out of the group. So how did you all come together as a group back in the day?
Back in the day, it was, a meeting at church,
mm-hmm.
on a nightly basis. John, we had church 7 days a week.
I understand.
And in order to keep from, you know, at times from being bored out of your mind, you got together with your brothers and sisters and you sang together and you played together and played music together, and you even got out on the altar and sought the Holy Ghost together. I mean, you did everything together. And that's what I will say that drew us together. It was church and good gospel music. It drew us together, myself, my older brother Tom, Steve, and you're talking about Esau. Man, Esau, right. I got a good report on Esau, man. He left the church after he got out of school, mm-hmm. and man, he did the drug thing and the alcohol thing and the woman thing. And but as of today, my younger brother is solidly saved and back in the church.
Oh, that's good. That's good to hear. Now, when you all decided to get together, and like any knowledgeable person living in southern Michigan and around Detroit, you all went to knock on Motown's doors, but Motown wasn't doing gospel at the time.
That's right. We had, and that was a dream for us.
I know it was.
Man, yeah, we were thinking, boy, if we can somehow or other get through the doors of Motown, it would be a dream come true. And I sent a cassette tape of our music and us singing, and we got a response, man. And but it wasn't the one that we wanted. They said to us that while they liked what we were doing,
mm-hmm.
and thought that we had great potential, they were not doing gospel music. If we chose to do R&B, we were welcome to come and you know, talk to them again. So that's the way that went. And from that point, we took the music that we had recorded, and my manager, who still lives in Detroit today, he took it to Memphis, Stax Records.
Right.
And Stax basically told him the same thing that Motown told us, you know, that they were not doing gospel music. And so my manager turns around, gets on the plane to come home, and to his surprise, by the time he got home, there was a message waiting on him saying, we like what we heard so well, so we would consider signing the group, even if we had to come up with a new record label to put them on.
Was that Al Bell who made that call?
That was Al Bell, man. That was okay. My guy, Al Bell.
It seems like a lot of Detroit groups, the group that I grew up with, the Dramatics, had to end up going to Stax. So everybody followed suit. If Motown didn't have room for you, Stax did.
That's right. That's the way that was.
Tell us about almost missing the plane, or well, you all did miss the plane to watch that.
Oh, man. That was something else, man. We went early that morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning, to get on a plane. It was raining like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
When we get there, the man at the counter says, oh, fellas, I'm sorry. That plane has already left. And, man, we saw this Watt Stax as such a great chance to be seen by the masses until I immediately went into prayer. My manager was upset with us because he had warned us not to be late, you
mm-hmm.
know. And my brothers, they were like, they weren't, you know, mad or anything, but they did understand that to lose out on Watt Stax was going to be a great disappointment. And man, I'm over in the corner praying, and my brothers saying to me, man, you know, I believe in prayer too, but I don't know about this one, you know.
Right.
And after about 15 to 20 minutes of prayer, we heard the man come over the intercom, the same man that told us that the plane was gone. He come over the intercom, and he says, that plane that just left for Los Angeles, California, is now returning to the starting gate. It has problems with its toilets.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, did we thank God for broken toilets.
No, that's
so,
right.
So we got on that plane, and, man, I can't tell you how it happened. All I know is that it did happen. We were scheduled to be in coach, but when we got on the plane, they put us in first class. And what was started out as a tragic kind of thing ended up being a bountifully blessed thing.
Now, what was it like? You all are the only gospel group on the program, and everybody else is R&B.
That's right. That's right. As a matter of fact, some of the R&B groups were singing gospel.
Right.
But we were the only gospel group on the show, man. And
the response was just amazing.
Oh, man, it was awesome. It was truly. I mean, this is back in 1972, John.
Exactly.
I can almost see the people. As I'm sitting here in my chair,
yeah,
I can
see the afros
see the
and the bell bottoms.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We were rocking that
Coliseum.
The Coliseum, yeah, man.
All right. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio, and we're speaking with the legendary Rance Allen of the Rance Allen Group. They have a new CD out entitled The Rance Allen Group Live in San Francisco. Mr. Allen, your sound is revolutionary to the point where back in the day you received a lot of pushback, but today it's commonplace. What was it about fusing R&B and little funk blues with your gospel sound?
Oh, man, it was unheard of.
Exactly.
Back in that time, and we were doing it, and we would go to churches to do it, and we would get frowned on. There was
mm-hmm.
one church, there was one or two churches that actually asked us to leave when we got through playing our music, you know. Because they didn't want us to somehow rather feel that it was okay to play the way we did and sing the way we did. But as you say, today we're living in a completely different world. Gospel music has been so improved and so orchestrated and so produced. Until you hear gospel music today, if you're not listening close to the words, you catch
yourself.
Yeah, you gotta catch yourself. That's right. Mm-hmm.
So, who were some of the artists in which you all listened to? Of course, we know you all listened to Motown, but some of the artists that influenced you and your brothers.
Oh, man, we heard, I believe the Violinaires came out of Detroit, I believe. This was a gospel group that sang so beautifully, man.
Mm-hmm.
They utilized all of the high notes and the high harmonies and the certain kinds of ways to perform. Then my most favorite, I still call him Master. Today, that's Master Joe Lagons and the Mighty Clouds of Joy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Dr. Matty Moss Clark, who was right there in the city of Detroit, and the Michigan Southwest Choir.
Okay.
And I was a part of that for a while. And then I listened to people like Mahalia Jackson and Brother Joe May, and the list just goes on and on, man. People that I admired in gospel. But then I had a lot of guys over there on the other side, the Temps and Dramatics, man.
Of course.
All these guys. Yeah, man. These were people whose music was so great. Barry White, and until I could not sing without being influenced by some of that great music.
I understand. I couldn't wait till I received my first radio job so I could play I Belong to You. How did you all come up with that song?
Man, we were in Berkeley, California.
Okay.
We had just finished an album called Straight from the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Hank Cosby, who was Stevie Wonder's early producer.
Right.
Hank Cosby was our producer, and I appealed to Hank. I said, Hank, I got a line that I gotta put down. He said, Rance, we're ready to go. We had been in there till like 3 o'clock that morning, and he's telling me, man, it's time to go. We've been in here all day. And I said, please let me put down just this line. And I started playing it on the piano. And the musicians that were there, they said, hey, we like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, let us play along with you. And within 20 minutes, man, we had I Belong to You. I'm yours all alone. Man, that thing took off for us.
Yes, it did.
And, oh, my goodness, we couldn't believe it. The last song done at the last minute was the one that
took off.
Took the message, yeah, man, took the message to the masses.
Music, if you could kind of analyze it, that have secular musicians want to be in sessions with you. You know, you got Kirk Franklin and the Winans and
yeah.
Everybody else. Yeah, we want to jam up with Rance Allen and the Rance Allen Group.
Man, you know, I think that it might be the music and the way we performed it or sang it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't sound like your average church music.
I got you.
It sounded like there was something else going on, and it truly was something else going on, man. I was trying my best to reach an audience or people who might not ever go to church.
I got you. Mm-hmm.
And that's why my music sounded the way it did in many instances.
Having been doing this for 40-plus years, what changes have you observed in the industry?
Well, like I said, first of all, I can remember a time when I had prophesied and I was waiting on it to come true,
mm-hmm.
that gospel music would be played every day 24 hours a day.
Okay.
Because when I started, gospel music was basically played Sunday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
You're right.
If you Yeah, and if you missed that time slot.
You missed it for the week unless you got up early in the morning from 6 to 7 or 5 to 7.
That's right. And so I prophesied that there would be a change there. Sure enough, today, oh my goodness, man, you can hear gospel music all day long.
Yes, you can.
Other things that I've seen change is the production of gospel music. When we went in to do our first album, we did 8 songs playing the music and singing within 4 hours. And Dave Clark.
I was going to say that was back with Dave Clark.
Oh, man. Dave was the producer on that, man. Dave went in the studio with us. And Dave is like, come on, come on, come on.
Exactly.
The clock is ticking. The clock is running. You know? So we had to do it within 4 hours. I said, Mr. Clark, I made a mistake on that one little line on the piano. He said, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That's the spirit. That's the spirit. Don't worry about that. Just leave that alone, you know. So today, you know, we're thankful that you can go into the studio with gospel music and people are interested to the point to where they will say to you, we're going to take our time and do this.
The day I've come through, I made it because of you. Your joy gives me strength, makes me happy deep within.
Legendary gospel recording artist, Bishop Rance Allen. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at inblackamerica@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm John L. Hansen, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 1 University Station, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 1 University Station, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.